This is Chris Sterren from the Truce Podcast, and you're listening to The Wild Man Steve Show.
You are about to listen to the intersection of faith, talk, and music. The Wild Man and Steve Show starts right now.
So here we are, 50th anniversary tour.
Yep.
John Schlitt, frontman of Petra, known to many as the voice of Christian rock. Welcome again. So great to see you and finally able to do an interview in person with you.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I did recognize you, though.
So yes.
Apparently the podcast works pretty well.
Yeah. Sometimes virtual looks better.
Actually, yeah, man. We look, oh, man, I thought you looked better than that. No, it's great to have you. Great to have part of the family here. I love it. The tour has been doing well. Couldn't wait to be in this part of the world. And it looks like there's a lot of folks that want to see Petra. So praise God.
Sure. So what in your mind is anything different about this tour versus all the other Petra tours you did?
You know what? I think the only way I could say this, we've got nothing to prove. We've got nothing to sell. In other words, we're not featuring a new record.
Yeah.
Not that was ever the major incentive. It's always been, what has God got store for us tonight? But now that's total. Mm. And it's really a beautiful way to go to a concert. And it's been sort of peaceful.
Yeah.
Peaceful. Just say, okay, God, we're excited. What do you got planned tonight? You know?
Yeah.
So I guess that would be the difference.
So what have been the highlights so far?
Boy, the highlights have been the reaction of the people. And again, I use this word peace only because it's so exciting to watch people know the words better than I do. You know, because you know that folks are there because they want to hear some Petra songs.
Right.
We don't have, like I said, we don't have to prove anything. And when I say that, it's like, for many, many years, I mean, every band goes to, you're here with a doubting look on you. You're not sure if you want to be here, but we're going to do our best to make sure you realize this was a good place to be.
Yeah.
And this one, I don't think we have that. This one, it's pretty much, we haven't had a new record out in 20 years.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If people are coming to see Petra, it's because they realize it might be the last time.
You know,
it might be the last time, and they don't want to miss another chance. And we've really done our best into trying to feature the last 50 years through music, represent all the different sections of the genre that we went through the best we can. Now, there's no possible way to cover everything. And I'm sure somebody's going to walk away, go, oh, I wish they'd done that. But we're trying our best.
Yeah, good, good. You know, what's exciting for me, as you know, I'm a lifelong Petra fan. And when I first started as a Petra fan, it was 1985, Beat the System.
Uh-huh. Sure. Yes, beautiful.
And then we got the news that Greg Exvoz was leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was rumors that Petra was done. And then, of course, you come on the scene, and then, no, that's not the truth. So then, several years later, Bob takes a step aside and stops touring.
Mm-hmm.
There were still some rumors at that point. Does this mean Petra's done? And then we have Farewell in 2004, 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now Petra's for sure is done.
But
and
you know
then
what?
We have
well, to the band, that was true. That was officially when we were going to stop. And we did leave ourselves a little bit of freedom saying, okay, if there's a revival or a benefit concert, mm-hmm. someone, if we're all, you know, if we're all still around, let's do that. Because we knew, I mean, watching all these other bands that retire and then they're doing 14 dozen, we knew that would happen. So we said, okay. And we have played in the last 20 years. We've played maybe two or three shows a year, basically in South America or in Europe,
mm-hmm.
and because we could be useful there.
Right.
And so, and then there was one year where we actually did go and say, you know what, I don't know if it's the 40th or the whatever reason, we decided, well, let's try it. Let's go out and have some fun. And we did like 8 shows in Europe, here, and South America again. And we said, no, I think we're just supposed to retire.
Yeah.
And then last year, Bob called me and says, you know, John, it's our 50th anniversary. We probably should go out and at least play some dates if anybody's interested. And
sure.
that's a biggie because, again, we hadn't been heard of for 20 years. Would anyone be interested? Well, you'd be surprised. We were surprised. And the dates started coming in. We did like 8 last year. That was the 2022 was the 50th year of the band starting. 2023
mm-hmm.
is really the continuation of that to 2024, which is the 50th year of our first album.
Okay.
And we've got something sort of cooking for that too. But
right. But
it takes that long almost of word of mouth for a Christian artist to get things rolling in this genre now, especially for us. I mean, we're not even one of the fish in the puddle anymore. You know, it's we're out there dangling and people are still anxious to remember the memories that we helped create, we created with them.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic.
Jesus said.
I remember when we talked to you before about your Greater Cause, the Greater Cause CD,
mm-hmm.
and you mentioned the phrase that stuck with me, that you wanted to do something for the Petra family.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if that's what your perspective is of this tour. Is that kind of what you're seeing, just mm-hmm. the Petra family?
Yeah. I always, when I walk on stage, I say, hello, family.
Yeah.
Because they are. They're a family. They have stuck with us for 50 years.
Yeah.
The only way that Petra was ever able to play as long as they did is that when we put out a CD, people chose to listen to it, they chose to enjoy it, and they chose to use it. And if no one ever wanted to hear a Petra song, then we would have never been able to play it. It would have been self-gratification, and that would have never gone anywhere. I've always seen, and I speak for the rest guys in the band too, I've always seen the fact that our audience, our fans, our the people that teamed up with us were the real, they were the real foundation mm-hmm. that carried this ministry through.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's when I say family, that's absolutely what I mean.
Sure. Yeah. It's interesting because every time I run into another pet head, if you will, we kind of speak pet head language.
Yeah. Petronese. Okay.
Yeah, Petronese. Exactly. especially the ones that are die hard, the ones that they're not just fans to the point, I like the music and then I move on, but they're like, they dove into, like I did. I mean, I knew everything, the history, who played on what album, what the producers were, what the tracks were.
You probably know more than I do, man. I'm telling you.
Well, that's a lot for you to know.
Yeah.
From your perspective, especially album after album, you guys doing shows. So I know you guys have been all over, and even on this tour, you're going outside the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a particular area that you would say is more prone to the rock style currently of what it was, or is it across the board everybody's about the same, that this is viewed as something that used to be?
Well, in our family, Petra, I mean, all our stuff works.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the way we've tried to design the set, there's momentum change that really is enjoyable, and it sort of speaks, it's greater than some of its parts. Now, as far as an area or I would say Europe have always been the rockers, the rocking fanatics. Now, don't get me wrong. You'll see tonight,
mm-hmm.
there are a lot of rockers.
Yeah.
But those
yeah.
are Petra rockers.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a difference, you know.
Now, you're not talking about rocking chairs, right?
No, that's for us on stage. We still have all different ages here.
Right.
So I would say if there's any one place, it'd probably be Germany, to tell you the truth.
Really?
But in that area, they still... But you know what? It's strange. In Europe, they like all styles of music. Their festivals are so unique to where they'll have a jazz band playing on the stage, and then right after that, they'll have a heavy metal band on it, and the same crowd is loving every minute of it. They just have a more varied... just a more open acceptance of different styles of music. Where we in America, we got our rockers, we got our I don't even know, I only know rock, so I don't know, the pop stuff, we got the, you know, all those kind of things. And they are hardcore. We've got hardcore fans that do just that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, praise God, that's how it works here in America.
Yeah, yeah. So as far as the theme of the tour for the concert, I know that every time that I'll say this, every time I saw you live, it was up until 94 was the last time. That was the last one, the Wake Up Call Tour. And
man, you missed a lot.
Yeah, but it's every single concert had an invitation.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that was a common theme back then with Christian artists to have an invitation. So evangelism was the focus.
Mm-hmm.
With this tour, would you say it's still the focus, or do you think it's there,
We've always felt evangelism was what Christian music is about. I will say that we haven't concentrated quite that much on this one because we know that pretty much 90% of the people here are fans that want to hear our music. They want to have memories.
Yeah.
They want, it's almost edification, which is a total reversal of what we normally do.
Right.
But if a promoter says, John, we've got a bunch of free tickets for recovery home.
Oh, yeah.
We brought mm-hmm. 40 mm-hmm. recovery people, and they really need to say, thank you for letting us know. And we'll do an altar call.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's important. If it was up to me, we'd do an article every night.
Sure.
But there was a time in Christian music where we were told they didn't want an altar call. Mm. Because they didn't like, because churches would bring their kids, and this is what I was told, and they didn't want strangers helping them to do the sinner's prayer. We did the first focus were strangers, and it, to me, that was really weird.
Yeah.
But you know, the body of Christ are made up of humans, and
yeah.
And so really there was a time where Christian music was told, we don't want altar calls anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, that was sort of the, for us, it was the beginning and end for us.
Yeah.
Because we, that's what we were about.
After every encore, here it comes. You know,
no,
time to.
And
the counselors were there.
It should be.
Youth pastors and pastors were there waiting to pray.
I would like to say we've got that whole set up now, but it's not that way. That they don't. It's not that common anymore.
Yeah.
And because we're doing one-offs, we go in and we say, okay, what do you need? What would you like? And now you're going to hear the word tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Bob has a great message in just before our slow medley. But as far as an altar call, it only comes when we know we know for a fact there are people out there that really need to hear it.
Yeah, sure. So right now you already had sound check. What is this time for you now leading up to the concert? Is it anticipation? Is it, obviously it's probably downtime, but what goes through your mind? Is it still the same as when you did it years ago?
I was going to get to interview you. I was going to get to do an interview with you.
Yeah.
I finally meet you in person.
There you go.
That was pretty much, I was sort of concentrating on that.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
Normally I would say, I'm trying to take it easy. Yeah, just mm-hmm. take it easy. Find a quiet spot. Do a little reading or do some games on my Sudoku.
Yeah.
Anything that doesn't, I don't have to think about anything.
Yeah.
And then we have our prayer time and we get ready and go on. And I will say, it used to be I could do anything vocal-wise just forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've got we did a show 2 nights ago. I've got to make sure that my voice is in great shape to carry it through tonight. The sound for me is more important. Then I've got a show tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I've got to make sure that my voice is, I won't say I warm up, because I've never done that, but I've got to sort of mentally sort of get ready for to know how I'm going to sing it.
Yeah, sure. So how, here's another question along with that. You've been doing this for so long. Like, if you were to say, how many years have you been singing?
Oh.
Not just professionally, yeah, but just in general, how many years are we talking?
68 years.
68 years.
Yeah. I started singing when I was 5.
Yeah. So 68 years, and yet you still get out there on stage and you still put on a tremendous vocal performance. There are many, the reason I'm asking this question is because there are many around your same era that are either calling it quits or their producers taking them aside saying, you can't do it anymore. And you get on YouTube now and there's a lot of things going viral. If somebody gets up there and sounds bad compared to what they used to be, it goes viral and they say, listen, he should get off the stage, he needs to stop. But my question is, and it's not comparing you to them, but it's as much as, what have you done to make sure you still could preserve that talent for all these years?
Nothing.
There's the secret, ladies and gentlemen. John Schlitt's secret. He's done absolutely nothing.
I've done nothing. Only God knows why I can still sing.
Wow.
I'm not very disciplined, and it's one of those things where God's just keeps opening doors. As long as he opens doors, I use the voice for what I'm supposed to use it for. I will say that I'm noticing that it's getting harder, but which means I've got to work a little bit more at it. But God's good. He just keeps allowing me to do high notes and have the growl that I need to have when I need it.
We just watched, they all loved it. We watched your live performance on Huckabee.
That was fun.
It was, and we listened to you, and your voice is still just as solid.
Thank you. Yeah, that was off my newest record, solo record. And I was so glad that he wanted to do that. The governor wanted to do those two songs. We did Feel It from my new record, and then we did Never Been Any Reason from the Head East Days. So, okay, governor, if you want me to do that, that's fine.
Well,
so,
he had a lot of fun playing that bass line for Never Been Any Reason. That was for sure.
It was fun. I went back there and I like to clown around with the band when I'm not singing.
Yeah.
And I went back there and he was so serious. He was reading his charts. He didn't even know I was there. You know, it's like, okay, governor, I'll let you do your thing, buddy.
Right.
So it was fun.
Remember the wild man's on the spot question. Okay, so now this is just up to, again, it's all up to you what you're going to say.
Okay.
But this is the second time you've referred to something cooking next year, possibly. So maybe you still can't say anything. And if you can't, can you give any hints?
Actually, what's funny, this is a different cooking.
Oh, okay.
The one that I was hinting at now has sort of faded. It should have been started by now.
Okay.
So if it's not happening, we're totally cool. This other thing is more of a musical thing, more of a musical choice. Something that actually Bob and I were talking about last night that might be fun.
Okay. Great. So if I would have
it
been
has something to do with the first album, the very first album.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. First album.
Because that will be the 50th year of the very first album. That's an anniversary.
So are you going to be doing Lucas McGraw? I know how much you like that one, so I just had to mention
it. Well, actually, it's funny you mention that, so I say nothing.
Gotcha. All right.
Lucas McGraw, what's come over you? We're beginning to think you're touched. We hear you got religion. You ain't been round to see us much. You threw away your corn cob pipe. Your jug of moonshine brew, and we hear you ain't been doing all those things you used to do. Lucas McGraw, what's come over you? You're shaving every day. You ain't been chasing women, and you kissed your wife today. You went to church last and you shook the preacher's hand, and they say you've been talking about a home beyond this land. Sing it, boy.
Well, thank you, John. This has been great, and we're looking forward to more from you tonight. Not just tonight, but in the future. I just hope this goes on forever, because as I said, every time that a decision was made, and the pet head was like, "Oh, now they're done. Now they're back. No, now they're done. Now they're back." So hey, keep doing that. That's what I want.
Well, thank you, buddy. You know, again, it made sense for us to do a 50th anniversary. It also made sense to do it over a 3-year period, the way I told you. And
right.
So we're excited about it. And the crowds are getting, well, the crowds are all being fantastic. And the shows are doing real well. So we're happy.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Can we get pictures with you?
Oh, absolutely. It'll be fun.
And if the other guys, are the other guys there? Or
it was an honor to interview my hero, John Schlitt. God has used him so much in my life to bring me closer to him. As experienced at the 50th anniversary concert, I was reminded I am not the only one. I stood there in the midst of a packed crowd that John refers to as the Petra family. On this tour, Petra is able to experience the fruits of their labor, seeing all this incredible ministry has impacted. Truly the highlight of my podcasting career. If you get to get a chance to see Petra on this tour, do it. Thank you for listening, everybody, and we will see you next time.
The Wild Man and Steve Show is now partnering with New Release Today. Find out more about them at newreleasetoday.com. And don't forget to check out our website, where you can also leave us a review at wildmanandsteve.com.
That sounds like rock and roll to me.